Well, good morning, everyone. And this morning we're going to be continuing our sermon series on the book of Nehemiah. And today we're going to be looking at Nehemiah chapter 2. And at the time of Nehemiah, King Artaxerxes ruled the Persian Empire, and Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king. And so he would be the one to test the drinks which the king was given to ensure that they hadn't been poisoned. And when you think about it, what a way to live, both if you are Nehemiah having to test these drinks and if you're the king who's worried that someone is trying to do away with you at any one time. But what I love about the conversation between Nehemiah and King Artaxerxes is that it's very down to earth. It's the kind of conversation that perhaps you can imagine having with your boss. And what it shows as well is the closeness of the relationship between Nehemiah and God, because we see that Nehemiah is sending up prayers to the Lord in the spaces between the king's words and his words. It's clear that the king was either a good judge of mood or that he was given that particular gift at this particular time by God to discern that Nehemiah was not looking very happy. He says in verse 2, "Why does your face look so sad when you're not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart." And what I really like about this is the fact that the king is spot on. And this allows the conversation to then progress with Nehemiah. We can't underestimate the magnitude of the opportunity that Nehemiah has at this time. He's before the king of the Persian Empire. It would be like Joe Biden saying to the person who was hoovering the Oval Office, "How would you like me to tailor my foreign policy to fit your personal needs?" Understandably, Nehemiah is very much afraid that the king has addressed him in this way. And so there would have been a temptation in Nehemiah's heart to avoid the risk and simply to say, "Oh, well, I'm sorry, I must have got out of bed the wrong side this morning." But he doesn't. We see in the conversation that God is providing Nehemiah with courage and a sense that he is at work in events. And so Nehemiah tells the king the reason for his sadness. He begins by saying in verse 3, "May the king live forever," which is a good way to start when talking to a king. "Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" So at this point, in response to Nehemiah, we find that there is a golden opportunity that emerges in the king's words, because the king says to his cupbearer, "What is it you want?" in verse 4. Perhaps this would have been a surprise to Nehemiah, because he may well have expected the king to say, "Oh well, never mind, you know, look on the bright side." But Nehemiah gets this incredible response, "What is it you want?" And so at this point he sends up a prayer to God. And I expect you may well have done that as well as a Christian, if you're in the middle of an important conversation and an opportunity arises for something significant to happen, you may well say to God, "Help, Lord, give me the words to reply well to this request." So let's look briefly at some of the requests that Nehemiah was then able to make in this conversation with the king. Well, one thing he asks for is that he would be sent to Jerusalem so that he can rebuild the walls. And secondly, he asks for letters to the Trans-Euphrates governors and the keeper of the royal park so that he would get safe passage and the resources that he needed for his journey and mission. And Nehemiah agrees to set a time for his return. So in verse 8, he's then able to declare, "And because the gracious hand of my God was on me, the king granted my requests." We need to remember that Nehemiah was not totally without resistance, because Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official, we are told, were very much disturbed that someone had come to promote the welfare of the Israelites. So as we go through this series of Nehemiah, we're going to be doing that up to the beginning of December during the weeks when I'm preaching. So I'm not preaching the next two Sundays, but I'll be doing the four after that as we finish off the final four sessions on Nehemiah. And this series is all about rebuilding, and it's particularly to be connected with us as a church finding our feet again after this pandemic period. Last week, when we were looking at the topic of lamenting the loss, we thought about people we'd lost. We talked about freedoms that had been put on hold during the lockdown times and the difficulty of losing the opportunity for face-to-face fellowship and gathering together as we are now able to do again on a Sunday morning. Nehemiah lamented loss in this book. He lamented the loss of Jerusalem's walls because they were a sign of a secure city. And he lamented that the place where God had declared that he would put his name now lay in ruins because of the historical sins of his people. But now an opportunity had arisen to rebuild. And this comes in a long time after the exile. So the people of Judah were in exile for about 70 years. And then, about 80 years after they were allowed to return to the land, comes the time of Nehemiah, when the walls are going to be rebuilt. So the 3 points that I have today in connection with this chapter of Nehemiah is, firstly, Nehemiah walked with favour. Secondly, Nehemiah walked methodically. And thirdly, Nehemiah walked with vision. So he walked with favour, he walked methodically, and he walked with vision. So let's look at the first point then. Today the overall topic is called Walking the Ruins, to remind us of how Nehemiah surveys the ruins before beginning work. And that is what we need to do now, to survey as a church what we have been left with, in order that we can then begin the rebuilding process. And to do that with purpose. And so this first point is to highlight what we've covered already this morning, which is namely that God was favouring Nehemiah in his conversation with the king. But it's through Nehemiah that God was actually fulfilling his own will. So God sees that Nehemiah is someone who will listen to his will and respond to the nudges that he gives him. Having God's favour is not about getting whatever you want. It's about being the right person, the right place at the right time. And I'm not saying that in a sense of being lucky. To be the right person means to ensure that our hearts are always turned towards God and willing to listen to him and to serve him. Then by doing that, we will find that we will be in the right place at the right time, so that we can sacrifice to God, so that we're able to fulfill his will and know favour in doing that. Point two then, Nehemiah walked methodically. Nehemiah actually explains his walk around Jerusalem in detail. He worked his way around, inspecting both the walls and the gates, and he examined it at every point, and he takes note of what had caused the walls to be destroyed. And this is what we need to do as a church if we're to move forward. There needs to be a time of walking the ruins. And I'm sorry if that sounds a bit negative, but it doesn't have to be. What I'm saying is, we know that there are things that we've done in the past and we've had in the past that we can no longer do and no longer have. The point is that if we look into the details, we can see how to rebuild the things that were truly valuable. The true value of Nehemiah's wall was not in the physical bricks themselves, but the value was in what it represented spiritually. It was marking out the boundaries that God had given of the place where he was to place his name, and the walls made that secure. And in the past, God inhabited all the activities that we would have done at church, and he will do so again, but it will be in new ways. If we're to find those ways, then we need to be methodical. We need to survey what has gone before and seen what was the true value in our old activities. It won't be a case of reproducing the exact activities, but it will be a case of producing things which allow God to be glorified in a similar way, but in today's time. Point three then, Nehemiah walked with vision. Once Nehemiah knew that his plans were from God and he had a vision for what needed to be done, he then called others to join him. So this is what it says in verses 17 to 18 of Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah says, "You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and we will no longer be in disgrace." I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me. They replied, "Let us start rebuilding." So they began this good work. Nehemiah approached this project with a sense of confidence, knowing that he had favour with God and knowing the scope of the project ahead of him. Those who heard the vision from Nehemiah knew that they were headed for success. Vision first requires that we look at the past and the present, and only by finding what is missing can we build with confidence and purpose for the future. See, Nehemiah went to Jerusalem with the confidence that God was at work through him. He knew he had favour from God and that he was doing what God was wanting because of the incredible conversation he'd had with the king. But even though he knew he had favour, he also knew that the wall was not going to build itself. And so he needed to act wisely by surveying, envisioning, planning and inspiring. And as we move along as a church, I believe that we will have God's favour. The favour will be there if we act in accordance with God's plan, which has always been to build his church. As we're building the church, we're not building an earthly institution. We're not building a name for ourselves. We're joining with Christ by his Spirit within us as he continues to build his church on earth. So how might we apply these things to our lives today? Well, if we think about favour, where do you sense that God is at work at this time? How is he calling you to be a part of it? Are you afraid that you won't be equipped? Well, I hope and pray that this passage today gives you confidence, because when Nehemiah was very much afraid, he spoke to the king anyway, and amazing things began to happen, which would ultimately result in the restoration of Jerusalem's walls after hundreds of years, and with them the well-being of God's people everywhere. If you feel that God is at work, maybe he's calling you to be brave. Being methodical. God will call us to use our minds as well as our hearts. And just because we're using our mental faculties, just because we're using our gifts in planning, it doesn't mean that we are working by our own power or that we're working on our own plans. Nehemiah made practical plans, and what was most important was that his plans were for God. If you're good with planning, then please be encouraged. God has given you those gifts for a reason, just as how he gives some people the ability to jump in at the deep end. As long as all gifts are used for God and in the love of God, he will work through them. Then there's vision. As well as practical plans, we need to have inspiring vision. Vision gives us the meaning and the inspiration for our action. And we find that when we delve deep into what God is showing us and identify where he's currently at work, those small embers that we find may be fanned into flame once more. Where do you see embers today which can be fanned into flame for the future? One last thing to say is that Nehemiah did meet with resistance. Even when we put all of our will into following the Lord, there will still be difficulties. But ultimately, both Nehemiah and we can be assured that God will be successful in building his kingdom, even if it turns out to be different from our initial vision. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you today for this passage from Nehemiah. I thank you, Lord, for the example that Nehemiah gives us as he walks the ruins, as he surveys all that is left, as he thinks about all that has gone before, and as he thinks about the true value in what those things allowed to happen. We pray, Lord, that you would help us as a church to move forward with a sense of purpose and vision. Help us to be methodical. And Lord, help us as individuals to do the same thing in our lives. Each of our lives will have been affected in a different way by this pandemic. Help us, Lord, to move forward with you, that you may lead us into whatever you have for the future. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.